So many things are going on this planet. I thought we'd bring in Stephen Quayle and get his take on so many things. This Ebola situation, still the missing Malaysian plane MH370, what's going on in the Ukraine now as the Russians are beginning to mount more and more soldiers on that border. Steve Quayle is next with us on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, noted author and researcher, of course, Xenogenesis, one of his latest works, Stephen Quayle with us. Steve, we always turn to you during these world events. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, George, and it's almost deja vu. Again, we're dealing with Ebola, but we're dealing with a different strain of Ebola than the four major strains. I just want to run through those, Ebola Zaire, Ebola Reston, Ebola Sudan, and Ebola Marburg. But what's fascinating about this, George, is the fact that this is the first time it's come out openly that the United States government patented all Ebola strains. Now, remember this, patented some of the most deadly pathogens heretofore defined by science with their California or their CA patent number 27415231A1. Why is it important for people to understand that? This patent was awarded in 2010. Now, you remember a couple of years ago, we did a show together. We've done shows every year pretty much. But the point being is the panic that was on SARS and MERS, and it was going to go to a global pandemic. Then almost overnight, it quit and it fizzled out. The thing that's fascinating to me about this is that there was no direct linkage to the earlier Marburg releases. And I just did a quick tally for the show, and it looks like about from the recorded and known fatalities since 1976, where in Zaire or the Democratic Republic of Congo, there's been about 2,500 deaths that have been tabulated. So what's fascinating to me is that now we've got the push for vaccines to come out for a variant form of Ebola. Now, what set me off and set me on kind of put me on total alert was the fact that when you're dealing with true Ebola or true hemorrhagic fever in any of its variants, you go in with a biosafety level 4 team. That's positive pressure suits. You use probably the most sophisticated bioweapon containment and viral containment procedures in the world. So what threw me off, George, is watching these guys with their aprons and basically their surgical masks and rubber gloves. And at that point, I said, there's something wrong with this. This cannot be even meant to be contained. This is an intentional release of a bioweapon for nefarious means, and I will always go to the nefarious means of the Illuminati's desire to destroy 9/10 of the world's population.
Well, and now they think a Saudi Arabian might have died from it, Steve, and also a priest is in Spain with it. These are little numbers, but they could become huge. I was watching on one of the cable news programs today where a doctor, an infectious disease doctor, said this could kill millions.
Well, I think it's designed to kill millions when it takes to its fullest infectious dispersal throughout the world. Now, here's the thing that I think is critical for people to understand. There's an argument over, and the biggest argument that is being fought right now, is it contagious, is it not, is it airborne? Not contagious, but is it airborne?
Is it airborne? That's right.
And Richard Press, in his book, The Hot Zone, wrote years ago that basically on the military's findings of the caged monkeys, and et cetera, that it was airborne. The question is, has this biologically been attenuated or manipulated to become airborne? And what's interesting, George, you know, the gestation period of the incubation period of this has gone kind of into the twilight zone, because you can be a carrier of this version for up to 2 weeks before even the first symptoms begin to manifest in yourself. So when I see things like that, these are all big-time indicators to me that this is a biowarfare weapons agent that has been released on purpose, and I don't think it's the final release, but I think it's a test and tweak release. Test and tweak release means they'll see how different population, different gene groups, how they respond. And again, for people who don't believe that these guys experiment on large groups of people, they need to have a reality check and just see what our own government has done to our servicemen and others.
Oh my gosh, back in the 50s. They experimented on all kinds of people, spraying people over St. Louis, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely. And then in San Francisco, and the release of, quote, harmless, and that's always in parentheses, pathogens. It's the same thing with the dispersal of radiation, radiation particles through the above ground testing in Nevada during, you know, the height of the Cold War. Obviously, they had every reason to want to know what the effects were, but this is something different because the military is rushing to get vaccine, and you got to ask yourself the question. Here's the bottom line. Who makes the most money on this deal? It was true of the anthrax scare.
That's right.
It's been true of all of these releases. So I would tell people to really pay attention to this because, again, number one, the golden rule in dealing with bioweapons, no one will ever tell the truth in order to basically prevent panic, okay? I've always been on talk radio for 23 years stating that if you tell people the truth and tell them what's really going on, you won't have panic. The only reason you don't tell the truth is to control by panic.
I find it strange that they say they're close to some kind of vaccine. How did that pop up all of a sudden?
That's a great question. In the bioweapons development arena, you never generate a pathogen without concurrently generating the vaccine. Same thing in chemical weapons. You always have the antidote. So it just happens to get released. It just happens to be a genetically altered strain of Ebola, and it just happens to have a vaccine that works. That's all nonsense. It's basically the movie with Dustin Hoffman, Outbreak. You remember Morgan Freeman's character. They had the vaccine all along.
That's right.
So that's point. And again, I believe Outbreak, the movie, is a must-see for everyone because Donald Sutherland's character in that movie, and I'm not giving a movie review, but whoever wrote the screenplay to that absolutely was an insider. They knew exactly how the game was played. So point, really important point tonight, George, they never release a bioweapon that they do not have the vaccine already for in case it gets away from them.
Exactly, and they need to protect themselves, right?
Absolutely, but at our expense. Probably the hardest thing to communicate to people is even the Georgia Guidestones. When they talk about maintaining the population of humanity, about 500 million on the planet, quick and dirty math says, well, about 6 billion people have got to die. And the biological and the pathogenic nature of genetically altered and genetically targeted bioweapons now is probably getting the most money of any bioweapons defense expenditure in the black budget world. In other words, they want to be able to be race specific, gene type specific, and they want to be able to take, and I'm just using this as an example, if you got brown hair, the gene for brown hair, blue eyes, whatever. The point being is this, and the Illuminati wants to depopulate Africa, plain and simple. So Africa has always been called the test tube of wicked men's inventions.
So how do you think this plays out, Stephen?
Well, I think you're seeing it right now, George. We're seeing that, you know, the CDC is coming out, and I don't trust anything they do. We've watched over the last month, and I think you probably reported on all the accidents. Now, how does the most supposedly sophisticated Center for Disease Control have so many accidents? And did you notice, too, all their top-level people were resigning almost within a week to 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
That's indicative to me of something very wrong. It's indicative to me of either, number one, conscience, and number two, I got to protect my own family. So the play out is this, George. I believe the implementation of the Illuminati's end game is now underway, okay? I don't believe that this is the final global pandemic, but I believe that the fear will be multiplied in order to bring more people under submission. And let me ask you this. If you, in the back of your mind, George Norrie, had the idea that, hey, these guys generated this in a lab, would you rush to get the vaccine?
You know me and vaccines, Stephen.
Yeah, and I'm with you. You know me and vaccines.
Yes.
Absolutely not. And so what I see is basically coercion, control, and when I say control the population, and again, terrorism, because nothing actually terrorizes, and we need to go back. You and I talked over, and I think this is so critical. When we talked about all the dead scientists, whether it was Dr. Wiley in 2003, whether it was Boris Pasnik, and I went through the whole list, we did a whole show, almost man by man, yep. woman by woman. What is the central theme of all? And you know what, George? After all these years, and people still ask me, why'd they kill all those microbiologists? These people, in one form or another, were all involved in a chain of bioweapons development, not necessarily working on the weapon itself, but in fields that would lend themselves. So guess what? You knock off, murder, liquidate the smartest people in the world, and there's no trace back. So this was exactly what was being done and proposed, and so it didn't matter if you had the best and the brightest being whacked, murdered. People said, well, within any given population, there'll be a certain amount of deaths. Not the brightest and the most famous molecular biologists, virologists, immunologists. These were the who's who of the world. Now, obviously, there are smart guys in the background that we don't even know their names. But the point being is this, is that I expect this to become more and more sensational. I still believe that people have got to understand the history of Ebola in order to understand that this is a variant. This is a mutagenic bioagent with a vaccine being proposed at the same time. And who gets to profit? The United States government owns the patent to everything that's related to Ebola, an offshoot of it. I think that's pretty critical and telling and damning.
You know, as you look at how this has been unfolding and how it continues to grow, why do they seem to be panicked about who can get on a plane and get to someplace?
Well, the most tragic, and that's the other, that was the other hallmark. There was no lockdown of any place on the Ivory Coast, that every single airport should have been locked down. It was almost as if it was facilitated. I coined a term years ago, and you know I like to come up with words because it's too difficult to explain to people in contemporary language sometimes what we're talking about. We're talking about intentionally exposed individuals being free to travel. And remember, in this new form of Ebola, some of the characteristics and some of the when you're starting to manifest the disease aren't even present for 14 days. So imagine people, just as you have suicide bombers, imagine people being suicide infectors, and I call those people infectons. An infecton is an individual, man, woman, or child, who's been intentionally exposed to a biological pathogen and released to travel the world. And now notice that Britain's kind of haphazard statement was, yeah, we're watching 30,000 people. Again, the handling of this outbreak is totally, totally outside of the way you contain the potential for an outbreak. So that ought to be flag number three.
Do they even know what they're doing, Stephen?
Oh, they know what they're doing. They definitely know what they're doing, but the upper level guys know exactly what they're doing. It's all plotted, planned, schemed, and I'm telling you this, right now, as you and I are doing this show, there are people with supercomputers watching the infection spread. They know the carriers in case of intentionally infected people. They are monitoring everything and everyone. And, you know, I hope that Snowden and those guys come out with what they know on this program because, again, if they're running for their life, Greenwald, Snowden, and, you know, mystery leaker, then they better understand, same thing with Assange, that, you know, the way that those guys are going to win their war in the public's mind is to tell the truth where they can actually give cause and effect to these, and I would call them malevolent, evil, intended entities. I'm not kidding when I say this. I'm not even sure they're all human. The bottom line is to be able to tie them to the release and the plots and plans.
So you've got some dedicated, hardworking workers trying to help people, but they're surrounded by these other folks.
Yes, and either contained or liquidated.
Let's talk a little bit, Steve, about MH370. The missing Malaysian plane went down March 8th. They still don't know where it is. They're going to try to change a little bit more of their search. But that story seems to have fallen off the map as well.
Well, it fell off the map because basically you've got so many lies, mixed signals, and it's known to everybody that Boeing has a system in place where they can track the transponders and the engines, even if the transponder and the cockpit recorders go down. The cockpit recorder is not a transponder. But the point is that multi-star generals and others said that plane never crashed. It was flown to air bases. and to be used as a later date. You know, fast forward on the 17th, and it was interesting, the 17th was a pretty important date worldwide. You know, we have the situation of the airliner being shot down out of the sky. We have the brand new passports. We have the specific factions of the military securing the site and pilfering the site. We've got the statement from fighter pilots that, you know, a fighter, a Ukrainian fighter aircraft shot it down. Then we've got the story of the guy who said, no, I had a Buk missile on my Land Rover or whatever, Toyota Land Cruiser, whatever it was. A Volvo. And so you've got all these mixed stories. So the point is you remember when that thing disappeared, we were talking about it would reappear at another date, possibly painted, possibly renumbered. That's all right. You got to do is change the transponder. But there were people that know, and Boeing even made the statement, George. We did a show together, I think one or two shows ago, talking about that. One of the executives said, we know where it's at, and then he shut up, and he never heard that again. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. And I thought for a moment that the downed Malaysian Flight 17 over Ukraine, that it might have been that plane.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting, and I'm suggesting if it was, that would explain the statement that a lot of the corpses were rotten and not freshly killed from impact. And I'm sorry to say this, but I think the problem with most Americans, and when I say problem, it's a good problem in some way, we just can't imagine these evil entities and what they're capable of. So the point is that if NATO needed an excuse or someone wanted a war with Russia, obviously, and we know what the ambassador was on record as saying and her expletives, the point is that we're in a how do I say this? Your suspicions probably have more evidence for them than against them.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Well, we may never find out what happened to that flight.
Well, we may not find out, but let's just say this. It's just like TWA 800. You got to admit, there's a lot of power when you get 300 eyewitnesses pretty much to shut up, and they're threatened with everything. And look, we're a lawless country now. We're a lawless nation. When I say lawless, I don't know if you saw the story where the police chief said, if the president of the United States won't obey the Constitution, why should we? Well, that's called lawlessness, when each man does that which is right in his own sight. And this is what's happening now throughout the land, and bringing in all of the immigrants. By the way, I'm for legal immigration, so there's no issues there.
I understand.
The point is that when you're not even screening for diseases, and I'm talking OTLs, other than Latinos or other than Mexicans, that's what the Border Patrol calls them, and it's not a slur, it's just a definition. You know, you've got a lot of people coming across the border, and again, our borders are so porous, so now it's a free-for-all, and, you know, the commander-in-chief is on a golf vacation or was on a golf vacation, and what's happened is the borders now are so porous. We've got the reports of the Border Patrol walking off. We've got Texas acting independently. I don't know what Arizona's doing, if they're following Rick Perry's suit, but here's the thing. We have absolutely seen the integrity of our border. We're seeing our culture and language, which people flock from all over the world, totally decimated, and we're in a position now, George, to reap the whirlwind and all of the diseases. I posted on my website, stevequayle.com, something for every coast-to-coast listener to link to. It's not anything linked directly, but it's a disease outbreak map, okay? And what's troubling to me is that when I wrote my book, Breathe No Evil, and you know, I was the first guy to go on and really talk about this stuff. You were kind enough to have me on. That's just a matter of history. But now, if you look at the dengue fever and the chikungunya and tuberculosis and leprosy and encephalitis and Hanta, it's like somebody broke into a weapons lab and just took one test tube of everything and released
it. And just turned it loose.
Yep.
I know. It's very, very strange.
So it's called the Global Incidence Map, okay? And it's on my website, stevequayle.com, Disease Outbreak Map. I think it's the third story down because I was waiting to go on with you. I posted these stories.
All right, Steve, when we come back, let's talk about end times. I know you're part of knowing what's going on. We'll be back in a moment. Steve Quayle with us. We'll take phone calls with Steven next hour. But let's talk about end times with him when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Stephen Quayle with us. Stephen, End Times, let's talk a little bit about the situation between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. And how does that tie into End Times prophecy, which has got to be coming up pretty darn soon, don't you think?
Well, I think we're there, George. Zechariah chapter 12 literally says, and, you know, Zechariah wasn't a reporter for the New York Times, and I say that with tongue-in-cheek and sarcasm at 1,000%. The point being is that it's a very critical issue. In Zechariah chapter 12, it talks about the whole world being gathered against Israel. People can argue about the boundaries. They can say what they want. But obviously, we're talking about a multi-thousand-year-old prophecy that foretold the time that Israel would be within its own boundaries. People can argue about it. They can say whatever they want. But the point being, nobody's dealing with the prophetic implications of why the whole world, hey, and even the United States, our allies, anybody who's watched the discourse between Obama and Kerry and Netanyahu and the Israeli cabinet members is seeing that this is probably the worst time in our country's mutual histories that there's been so much animus. The world is absolutely outraged at the, quote, bombardment of Gaza, but also people are not seeing living with 2,000 missiles coming in overhead. And I think that what's That's fascinating right. to me, it's the prophetic statement. It basically, here it is in a nutshell. I think Joseph Farah nailed it when he said, this is the war. The war is against is between a secular world and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's like it truly is a war against, it's a spiritual war. And I said earlier in the show that we're dealing with entities that are non-human. You and I have talked about fallen angels. Mm-hmm. We've talked about demons. We've talked about the giants, which are the Rephaim. And now we're in a time period of what's called the Gog-Magog War. People will argue over that. Obviously, there's a group that says it doesn't happen until after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. There's those of us who said it happens before and after. But Gog-Magog are interesting. Everybody looks at those and tries to determine whether Magog is Moscow, etc. I think it's in plain sight. Since Henry V in, 1548, this is kind of an interesting thing. I think we touched on it in one of our interviews. But Gog and Magog are the literal historic giants that are the protectors of the city of London. The city of London is different than the town of London. The city of London is equal to the Vatican City. Only in the world, George, this is the cerebral cortex of all financial dealings. When you say the prophetic implications, the international banker made the statement, Rothschild, we make more in one day of war than an entire year of peace. But Gog Magog are brought about in the book of Ezekiel, is coming from the north. Well, if you see this whole thing playing out in the Ukraine and Russia, and ultimately it all boils down to money. It boils down to the pipeline, both pipelines, the northern and southern pipeline. NATO is now, you probably saw where we've sent NATO generals into the Ukraine. Russia's not sitting back and doing nothing. And Vladimir Putin made a statement to the American people the other day. I posted a story. I don't know if you know it, but he said, never give up your guns. Excuse me, the United States government is making war, and this is prophetic too, because in the United States, and you said, I sure hope not, over a decade ago when we first talked about civil war, you can see there are two camps in this country. And you've got to see the spiritual nature of this battle, especially when you've got the entire, when I say the entire, the visible military, not all military members, the visible military being told that American patriots, obviously gun owners, Christians, and are basically persona non grata. When you've got the Muslim Brotherhood and some very nasty Hamas and the Egyptian Brotherhood and others in this country, you've got 22 terrorist training camps that are never touched by the FBI, yet you have Joe's Gun Store in El Paso raided. The point being is that it's almost like it's a free-for-all being set. Now, we know that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We know that there's going to be Christian persecution. And I think the White House's silence on the Christian persecution and the slaughter, I don't know if you watch them or you've seen them or obviously you know they exist, but the gruesome slaughter of Christians in different parts of the world and the silence from the White House is such a heinous, crime against humanity, yet this is what Jesus talked about in the last days, that the persecution of Christians is going to increase. And this is, I think that when you say to me, are we getting close? I say we are at the full scale entry point to the persecution coming. There's wars and rumors of wars, and let's take the earthquakes that are happening. You know, when Stan Dale used to do, and I mean, he still does his predictions on earthquakes, well, he was getting so accurate with the sea surface temperature anomaly that the FOMC, the Navy, shut him off from access to the site. They just shut the site down, not just Stan. But the point is, he figured a way around it. But when you look at the sheer volume of earthquakes, 6.6s, and all of the numbers that are happening in the South Pacific, all the ones that are happening on the New Madrid, all the ones that are happening in Alaska, you start to see that Jesus said there's going to be a lot of earthquakes in diverse places. But basically, the war is this. You've got the literal people that are absolutely battling for control of the earth. The Bible says, and you know this, that there's going to be a war in our time, or forgive me, war on earth, that is going to be so devastating that if the days weren't shortened by the Lord himself, there'd be no flesh left alive, that which brings me to genetic Armageddon and xenogenesis. The point is that now the argument, you watch this play out in the headlines, and years ago there was hardly anything on genetic manipulation or just a few articles here and there. Now there are hundreds of thousands of them talking about the robot wars and artificial intelligence, and can we control those who we create that we can basically count on terminating us. And every day the argument becomes more extreme and more detailed. And it's one thing to basically make a robot and think you've got it programmed, but forgive me, but complex systems produce complex problems. And again, it's garbage in, garbage out. So when do robots achieve awareness, self-awareness? And then one of the things that Stephen King did years ago was basically with his movie Christine, what happens when inanimate objects become demon-possessed? I want to make a statement. A demon is the disembodied spirit of the giants that were produced when the fallen angels had sex with earth women. There's even a war going on over that. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen it yet, George, but I was out taking photographs. They take photographs from helicopters all over the state of Montana and the high mountains. And I just posted a flabbergasting photo on my website, stevequayle.com, that looks literally like a dragon skeleton. The wingspan has to be about somewhere between 60 and 80 feet.
Jeez.
And you go on my website and look at photo of the day, and it was in a melted glacier at about 9,800 feet. So the point being is that this stuff is being exposed. And remember, I've told people this, that the things of people's nightmares are now becoming a reality. Let's take the giant holes, you know, in Siberia.
Yeah. That they still places. Can't explain.
No, and see, the thing is that how do I say this? All legends, in my opinion, and myths are based on some fact. That's not to say they're all truthful, but enough of them are truthful. And here's the one thing, and I mean, after, you know, what, 30, 40 years of writing books and 10 books, I can say this. I've done enough footnoting that people, if they're honest, intellectually honest, they'll come to this conclusion that the stuff of mythology seems to be all leading back to genetic manipulation of different species and producing some pretty heinous and wicked creatures. On my website, Genesis6Giants.com, which is a sister website to stevequayle.com, I have the Book of Giants and the Book of Enoch. People should go and see those. Those are the Dead Sea Scrolls. And by the way, they're not books, they're just fragments. But the gist of it is the fallen angels basically genetically altered everything from the insects to the birds, to the mammals. And somebody said, well, is that where dinosaurs come from? Well, not in the world of paleontology, but in the history, it absolutely appears that that's what happened. And again, one of the most famous dinosaur paleontologists in the world once said, when I gave him my book, he said to a third party, well, that guy doesn't believe in science. And my answer to him was, how do you know everything you believe in science is true? So the point is that the evidence out there, so anyway, I'm out flying, kind of a cool story, 30-second version. I'm out flying, and I'm taking the pictures of some of the high mountain lakes. And by the way, my new book, Photos, Favorite Places, is out. And this is the last 4 or 5 years I've spent over Yellowstone Park. People say, why am I so adamant that Yellowstone is not going to blow? Well, I photographed it for 40 years, and I've been taking photographs of everything. And by the way, it's fascinating that you saw the story that a guy flew a UAV into Grand Prismatic. Well, Grand Prismatic happens to be the cover shot of my book, Inside the Book Suite.
Yeah, you're an expert on Yellowstone. You really are.
Well, I think I know enough people, and again, I think that when people are say it's going to erupt, I go down there in a helicopter. I have access, a friend has one, and we go down and shoot the lake, especially in the area that it, where, quote, the magma is close to the surface. And when there's no ice melt, and when there's no anomalies happening, and there's nothing to indicate that, you know, Yellowstone's going to blow, then it's not going to blow. And people forget that there are thousands of vents. In other words, there's always something relieving the pressure. Having said that, 2 weeks before the road closed on one of the 2 mile scenic drives on the Firehole Lake Drive, Firehole Lake is really a cool thing. It's on my website. People can go on my photo gallery. But the point is that I looked at the asphalt that they had laid down, because the ground temperature, obviously, as it gets hotter, asphalt melts. But the point being, it wasn't a very good job of road repair. But I've gone down to the Norris Geyser Basin, which, by the way, is in my photo book. I took pictures from both the ground and from the aerial, you know, within the limits of what they allow us to fly, and literally gone down with instrumentation that tells me exactly the ground temperature. Anybody can do it. They just take a digital thermometer, electronic thermometer, and walk in the areas. And I was down there when they closed off the areas. So what I'm saying is there would be indicators before Yellowstone blows. So my new book, Favorite Places, is out. It's got over 100 pictures, and they're 13 by 26 inches. So if people want to go and see what I believe is a dragon skeleton, notice the skull, notice the vertebrae, and I don't know if you're on my website, George, but the wingspan, this is at about the 9,000-foot level, and it's where
weird.
The glaciers have melted.
Yeah.
And it would be fossilized, okay? And that's definitely rock and not ice, but the ice is melting. And I thought, boy, there's an interesting thing, because I'm the one that's telling people, amongst others, that there's nothing that's been hidden that isn't going to be revealed. So I'd encourage people to look at it. They can draw their own conclusions, but the very vertebrae and the way the wings sprawl out, even to the tail, I mean, I'm telling you, that thing's huge. I'm shooting a 24-millimeter wide angle, and that thing is massive. My estimate is the wingspan has got to be at least 80 feet, if not more.
Huge. Absolutely huge. Now, let's get back to end times for a moment, Stephen.
Right.
The Antichrist.
Well, the Antichrist means in place of Christ, and I think you're seeing that played out in the one world religion, the one world economy that's being proposed, and the one world, the one world religion, the one world economy, and the one world ruler, okay? And you know that, and this is not an anti-Catholic statement, but obviously the Pope is calling for a new religion where all roads lead to Rome, and I said, yeah. But in the Christians' case, that meant to the Colosseums. You're seeing the push for...
where they died at the hands of the sword.
You got it. And see, again, I think that you're seeing that because, you know, when you're seeing... And I've watched him. I'm sorry, I don't recommend people do. But when you're seeing the slitting of throats of Nigerian Christians, when you're seeing the mowing down of men, women, and children, you know, 1,500 at a time, human life does not mean anything. And this is what has to... people need to understand, the mainstream Christian world always looked at the revival of the Holy Roman Empire as being the 10 nations spoken about in the book of Daniel. And the point is myself and a few others were saying, but wait a minute, what about a supranational Islamic federation of nations? And obviously the Mahdi is what is being proposed as coming on the scene. That's the, if you will, the equivalent of the savior of the world and he who rules the world under Islam. But the point being is even they acknowledge that there has to be a global conflagration. And that's what I see we're all seeing that in the Middle East. And so that's biblical prophecy too. Because the bottom line is Antichrist will come on the scene after a great war. And this is not the Battle of Armageddon, but it's World War III. Have you ever, George, in your life up until the last probably 18 months, ever heard World War III bannered around so much?
It's scary.
Yeah, Russians and Chinese. And, you know, I used to do that years ago, 20 years ago. I monitored civil defense and Soviet war policy. I do not speak Russian, but I met with enough Russians. I have a lot of respect for them because, again, I'll tell you one thing. To a large degree, Russians tell the truth. They're brutally frank. They're brutally honest. I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying is they certainly aren't U.S. politicians, okay? I mean, and what I mean by that is that I interviewed, and you and I have talked about it on the air, different people from the intelligence, from the military community, and I understand how this is playing out now. So when the president of Russia tells America not to give up their guns, and the entire country is against guns pretty much with a few exceptions, you got to say something's getting ready to brew here. And so here's the point. We have foreign troops in this country, which we've had for years. We have the Germans. We have the Russians. We have Spetsnaz, Special Forces. We've got probably, I believe at last count, troops from 60 different nations.
We have camps set aside.
We have camps set aside. We have the FEMA camps. We have all the coffins. We have all the military vehicles. In the last 2 months, more military vehicles with armed weapons or weapons at ready are traveling the roads and the back roads of this country. The point being is that now by generating a humanitarian crisis on the border, you know, guess what? Well, the United Nations can come in, and who are some of the peacekeepers? Russians, Chinese, and whoever else is a member of the United Nations. So I believe, and I'll go on record as saying this, I believe the United States is in the twilight of its existence. I believe there are no political solutions to a spiritual problem. The point being is that, look, the guys that screwed up the country can't unscrew it, okay? The same people that generated all these problems. And in the meantime, we're spending money to the point that the world holds our currency in contempt. And the average person, George, the average person hasn't got a clue what's happening to their dollar's ability or their financial ability to acquire food and stuff until they go to the grocery store. Then they get a clue. And bacon's up, I think it's now, $6.98 for a pound. And if you buy it half a pound at a time, it's $8. Well, food's up 28%.
It's huge,
So it's huge. So this is all biblical prophecy. The drought in California is a huge prophetic fulfillment. The prophetic fulfillment basically says, and look, they can take this up with God, but he declares when people make war on him, and he does, he says he withholds the rain. And it doesn't even matter in my world, the other ones who withhold the rain are the weather modifiers, and the weather warfare that's taken place over the past 30, 40 years is astronomical. But still, the Bible says that God takes the wicked in their devices. And I can tell you this, you know this, when I start talking about God and the Bible, boy, that's when people get upset. But who else is telling them? See, they, instead of hating the Christians and wanting them all dead, they should be saying, okay, why now is the world going after a bloodlust and persecuting Christians, and there's total silence in the West? I'll tell you why. Because Satan, who was not and is not an angel, he was a cherub, Ezekiel 28. The point being is that now the spiritual war is coming on Earth, and that's why I believe the holes are opening up. That's why people are seeing dimensional stargates opening up. My book, True Legends, this is something that's important for people to understand. True Legends deals with all the Native Americans and what they're expecting to come on the Earth, and the Native Americans from all over the country are reporting into me. They're seeing portals opening, skinwalkers, and all the stuff that people poo-poo.
It's like Hopi prophecy as well. Stephen, stay with us. Because next hour, we'll take phone calls with you on Coast to Coast AM.